On here, okay. All right, we'll start up praying here. Well, Lord, thanks a lot for this time, and just pray that you go before us and pray that you give the gift of teaching to all the teachers at church here tonight, and just give you this time. Pray that your will be done with everything, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We're going to be in Psalm 146. Psalm 146, I read that it's thought to be written by either David or Haggai and Zechariah, so I'm not sure, but nonetheless, it starts out saying, praise ye the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul. So, great verse right there. We can ask, what does praise mean? It says, praise ye the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul. I looked it up, and praise ye comes from the word hallel. I'm not sure if I said that word right, but which means to boast of or to celebrate. So it's kind of saying, boast in the Lord and to celebrate the Lord. So I got to teach the children here at church recently, and I taught from here as well. And I just asked the kids, what they thought praise was. And I came up with, praise might mean something like expressing that Jesus is awesome, and we're not, And one of the kids responded saying that was maybe the 2023 definition of praise. So I thought that was kind of funny, but a little more, how we can understand it. But praise does mean to boast and to celebrate. And and I just thought of, after I took my notes just a little bit ago in Nehemiah, I think it might be chapter 8, but when the children of Israel, they were rebuilding, they were taken captive to Babylon, and then they came back and were trying to restore Jerusalem, and Nehemiah and Ezra, they read the book of the law of the Lord to the people, and when the people heard this, the first time that they had heard it in a long time since being taken captive to Babylon, and when they heard it, I think they bowed down and raised their hands, and they're kind of mourning because they were convicted of their sin and, what the Lord told them to do, and they weren't living up to that, just like, we all are like that. And so that's interesting. There's that aspect of Christianity where we should be that way. We should be repentant and really be broken over our sin. But then it's kind of interesting that Nehemiah and Ezra, they stepped in and told them not to mourn, because they told them to eat the fat and drink the sweet. And so there's that aspect of Christianity too, and we need to balance those two out together, of mourning over our sin and being broken over our sin, being repentant, but also, and then in that same passage they said the joy of the Lord is our strength. So we should eat the fat and drink the sweet as well, and because of the joy of the Lord we should be joyful. We should both. It's kind of interesting because, we should be repentant and be broken of our sin. But at the same time, the bad news is that, we're sinners and we deserve to go to hell, But there's also good news. That's the bad news. The good news is that Jesus came, to die for our sins, and anyone who believes on him will be saved. And so... And that we rejoice over, we eat the fat, drink the sweet, and the joy of the Lord is our strength. So we should also be joyful. So, you know, sometimes it's hard to balance both of those out, but I remember reading that not too long ago, and that really helped me, you know, in life. You know, sometimes always want to, you know, always think how wretched we are, which we are, but there's good news too, and what Jesus did for us, obviously. So praise means to boast and to celebrate. So why is the author of Psalm 146 telling his own soul? He said, "Praise the Lord, O my soul." He's telling his own soul to praise the Lord. Why is he telling his own soul to celebrate him? You know, there's a lot of reasons to praise him and to celebrate him and to boast of him. You know, just there's a lot. He said he'll never leave us or forsake us. You know, he healed people of sicknesses, diseases, cast out devils out of people. You know, fed us. You know, made a lot of food out of a few fishes and bread. You know, all that stuff. You know, so and he created the heavens and the earth. You know all that miraculous stuff. And you know, the biggest reason. At the same time, the biggest reason is because even though we all deserve to go to hell, you know, he made a way to go to heaven. So that, you know, that's why, you know, you guys know that, I know, but it's doesn't get old hearing it. We need to hear that over and over. You know, John 3:16 reads, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." So there's bad news, but there's great news also as well. So and then in verse 2, "So praise to you the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul, while I live. I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being." So he's just continuing to say, you know, again, you know, that word praise ye is celebrate and to boast of the Lord. So that's what we should do. You know, in church, you know, we do, you know, we just got done, you know, we call it worship, but that's a form of praise. And you know, we should do it not only in here, you know, it's a great time to do it for sure. But, you know, Lord, help us to praise you and worship you when we leave here as well. You know, like Greg put those verses, you know, now we're entering the mission field, you know. So, and then verse 3, it says, "Put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help." Put not your trust in prince. Sorry, I have to digest. I have to read stuff over and over. But put not your trust in princes. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. So, you know, I take princes to mean leaders. You know, any leaders. You know, Son of Man. You know, it's not a capital S for Son of Man. So I just, you know, I didn't look that up, but I assume it's just humans. You know, don't. That's the way I'm taking it. Maybe I'm wrong, you know, but that's the way I take it. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, humans, in whom there is no help. So, you know, that's a interesting verse, you know, kind of humbling us humans, you know. You know, it's not saying we're still supposed to love our neighbor as ourselves, okay? And you guys know this, and we're still supposed to do unto others as we want done unto us. You know, Jesus told us that. And we know the Bible verse, "No greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." We're still supposed to do that, just like Jesus did for us. That Bible verse is speaking of Jesus laying his life down for us. Jesus did that for us, so we should do that for others. We should aim to be the best, you know, husband, wife, father, son, brother, sister, you know, whatever, you know, And to love others. That's not what this Bible verse is saying, you know. We should still do all that stuff. But at the same time, while we're supposed to love everybody, we're not supposed to put our trust in princes or in, you know, the Son of Man. So, because humans are imperfect, that's why we don't put our trust in them. And, you know, the Bible verse, there's none righteous, no, not one, except for Jesus, you know. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So, except for Jesus, you know. Therefore, we don't want to put our trust in humans, but instead put all our trust in Jesus. I was reminded of the Bible verse, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. You know, it doesn't say trust in humans with all your heart, you know. So we're supposed to love them, yeah, but, you know, trust them. We're not perfect, so, you know, we have to be careful. You know, all of our trust goes to Jesus. And then it says, happy is he that has the God of Jacob. Happy is he that has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. So, so we're not supposed to put our trust in princes nor in the Son of Man, but happy is he that has the God of Jacob for his help. That's who we put all of our faith in and ask for help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. So it doesn't say happy is he that has people for his help, whose hope is in the people. And again, it always seems like it's beneficial to say, you know, say what that doesn't mean. It doesn't mean that we don't help each other, but at the same time, it doesn't say happy is he that has people for his help, whose hope is in people. Instead, it says happy is he that has the God of Jacob for his help, whose help is in the Lord his God. So Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2 reads, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. So humans are limited, but Jesus is not. And I know you guys know that, obviously, but and then in verse 6 it says, which made, referring to God, which made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is therein, that therein is, which keeps truth forever. So obviously it's very, we know that God created the heavens and the earth. And we're reminded of it here, and the sea, and all everything that is in the heaven and the earth and the sea. So, you know, what more do you say? You know, it's amazing, miraculous, which keepeth truth forever. You know, the word of God endures forever. You know, theories, beliefs, it's, you know, what people think come and go, but the word of God endures forever. So that's an encouragement, you know. It has never changed, and it never will. You know, that's great encouragement to stick with Jesus, you know. So, and then verse 7 says, which executes judgment for the oppressed, which gives food to the hungry, the Lord looseth the prisoners. So, you know, I don't want to change, you know, what he says. I'm kind of thinking spiritually here. He executes judgment for the oppressed. You know, what comes to mind for me is, you know, God executes judgment for people who are oppressed for Christ's sake. You know, if we are persecuted for Christ's sake, you know, we don't have to fear the people oppressing us, okay? Because he's going to take care of it, you know. And, you know, Christianity is, you know, it's a serious, you know, judgment is part of Christianity and, you know, a part of God. You know, he's very loving at the same time, you know, that he's a judge too. So it's, a very serious thing. And so he, you know, if we're oppressed, you know, and we have Jesus, we don't have to fear, because he's going to execute judgment for that. He gives food to the hungry, you know. You know, again, I think he can look at this spiritually, maybe. He does physically give food to the hungry. You know, I think he also gives food to people who are hungry in the spirit, too, like hungry after him, you know. He is the bread of life, and so it's important for us, you know, to be hungry for God, because he will give us his spiritual food as well. The Lord looseth the prisoners. What I thought of here was, you know, we're kind of prisoners to our sin, you know, we're in bondage to our sin, and he looses us from our sin if we accept him, you know. He delivers us from our sin if we have him. So a Bible verse that came to mind when I saw this verse is, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So you're not a prisoner. We're not prisoners to our sin if we have Jesus. So verse 8, the Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises them that are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. So, you know, I remember when my eyes, you know, were not opened, you know, and I've said this before, but I kind of feel weird a little bit because I have so much room to growth in Jesus, but I do remember clearly when my eyes were open to Jesus, and so he does do that, and I know he's done it to every Christian. So he opens the eyes of the blind, and the Lord raises them that are bowed down. You know, we know the Bible verses, if we exalt ourselves, we're abased. If we humble ourselves, then we're exalted. So, and just like those people who in Nehemiah, in Ezra's time, you know, they were bowed down, they had their arms raised to him, you know, they're humble, and he raises those people who know they need him. Anybody who knows they need Jesus. I'm going to read Luke chapter 18, part of that. Luke chapter 18, verses 10 to 14. It says, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone that exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. So you have the Pharisee, he was exalting himself, so he'll be abased. And the publican, the Pharisee didn't recognize he is a sinner, and he thought he was better than everybody else, and looked down his nose. The publican, on the other hand, he couldn't even lift up his eyes. And what he smote his breast, you know, desperation, and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. So he was aware that he was a sinner and he had great need of forgiveness of his sins. So he's exalted. And, you know, that happens in this life, you know. I've seen it happen to myself, you know, and the wrong way, and you know, I've seen it in others too, you know. So So, and then it's important to be bowed down and not to exalt ourselves and to not take any glory for it, for anything. You know, there's a Bible verse that says, anyone that glories, glory in the Lord. And, you know, Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. So there's really nothing for us to boast about, really, because whatever we do, we couldn't do without Jesus anyway. So he deserves all the glory, you know. And it's good to hear that often. So, and then it says, the Lord loves the righteous. And, you know, the only righteousness we have is through Jesus. So that's what the Lord loves, is when anybody has Jesus. And, you know, it says in the Bible, our righteousness is as filthy rags. You know, that's what our righteousness is filthy rags. But so the only way for us to be righteousness is what we have through Jesus. And so that's what Jesus says, the Lord loves the righteous. So he just loves when anybody has him as their Lord and Savior. So verse 9, the Lord preserves the strangers. He relieves the fatherless and widow. But the way of the wicked, he turns upside down. So what came to mind for me was the Lord preserves the strangers is that a stranger maybe, again, just like Greg often says, you know, don't take my word for it. You guys, you know, read it yourself and let the Spirit talk to you. And maybe I'm wrong. I hope I'm not trying to be, but I want to make it clear that, you know, this is what came to my mind. But what came to my mind is that a stranger is someone whose earth isn't their home, indicating that heaven is their true home, which indicates that they have Jesus, you know. And God, it says God preserves these people who are strangers. And he relieves the fatherless and the widow. You know, some people don't have fathers, you know, on this earth, but yet they do, you know, with God if they do, and the widow. So, and then the next part, but the way of the wicked, he turns upside down. So just as we said before, you know, God is to be feared, you know, and, you know, the Bible talks a lot about fearing him and that he's a loving God. At the same time, he's a judge. And but the way of the wicked, he turns upside down. You know, that's a humbling thought, you know. So, and I think I'm going to talk about fearing God a little bit later too. So verse 10, the Lord shall reign forever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations, praise thee the Lord. Okay, the Lord shall reign forever. It says it right here. So, you know, that's a, this is a great encouragement, you know, he reigns forever. So that people who praise Jesus and have him win in the end, you know, might not seem like we always win on the earth. I feel that way quite often, you know, but well, you know, in a sense, you know, we have peace, you know, I have peace of Jesus. At the same time, life is hard and, you know, can be overwhelming sometimes, but we know anybody who has Jesus wins in the end. It says, the Lord shall reign forever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations, never ending. So, for eternity. I take that. That's what I take it to mean. Praise ye the Lord again. Praise ye the Lord. Don't forget to praise ye the Lord. You know, celebrate him just like Nehemiah. You know, it is, you know, kind of goes back and forth in this of praising God, celebrating him, boasting of him, but mourning, you know. So I think, I don't know, that's kind of what I got mostly out of these chapters is there's a balance between being repentant and mourning, but yet joyful. Eat the fat, drink the sweet. And celebrate. You know, the word praise, I looked, it said, it means, one of the things it meant was to celebrate him. So, and they say, praise ye the Lord again. So, Psalm 147, it says, praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God. For it is pleasant and praise is comely. So again, praise ye the Lord, celebrate him, boast of him. For it is good to sing, you know, before this, you know, had great worship and praise music. We were singing. For it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant. I looked up the word pleasant, not that, you know, it kind of speaks for itself, but I read that it meant delightful, sweet, and lovely. So singing praise unto our God is pleasant, delightful, sweet, and lovely. And praise is comely. I looked comely up and that meant beautiful. So praise is beautiful, you know. And you know, that's a great encouragement for us to continue to praise and worship and to sing to him. Verse 2, it says, the Lord does build up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcasts of Israel. He heals the broken in heart and binds up their wounds. Okay. So what stuck out to me there was the people who are broken in their heart are this way because they're aware that they're sinners and they're broken over their sin. Just kind of what we talked about before. That's the reason why they're broken in heart, because they realize they're sinners or were sinners. So it's important for us to have poor and contrite hearts, to have repentant hearts, to know that Jesus is awesome and we aren't. Anyone who has these types of hearts gets their wounds binded up or bandaged so that their wounds heal. So they had wounds. We all have wounds, you know, sin. But we can have those wounds healed through only one way, though, you know, and that's through Jesus. You know, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. And the Father is up in heaven, and no one gets up into heaven to the Father but by Jesus, because he binds up their wounds and bandages them. That's what binds kind of means, is bandages them so they can heal. So it's important for us to pray and to aim to have broken and poor and contrite and repentant hearts. If we do, we are healed. So verse 4, he tells the number of the stars. He calls them all by their names. I've heard, I don't know if it's true, but I've heard people say there's as many stars as the amount of grains of sand, you know, which you think of that, holy molies, you know. So He knows how many there are, and he not only does he know the number that they are, but he calls them by their name. You know, he has names for them all. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. So that just speaks, you know, that God, in verses 4 and 5, I think that speaks that God is omniscient. You know, he's all-knowing, and he's omnipotent, all-powerful. It says, great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. And so, you know, we have, you know, in society, you know, you have those movies of the Avengers and, you know, stuff, and those people like those a lot. I've seen gotten a shirt for kids that said, God is my superhero, you know, that I like that, you know. He's omnipotent, you know. He's of great power. So verse 6, the Lord lifts up the meek. He casts the wicked down to the ground. You know, again, we kind of talked about this before, you know, if we humble ourselves. You know, meek means humble and lowly and kind of like the publican praying. And if we humble ourselves like that publican, then we'll be exalted. If we exalt ourselves like the Pharisee, then we'll be abased, we'll be brought low, we'll be humbled. Again, give all glory to Jesus. Don't take no glory for ourselves. Without Jesus, we can do nothing. Just came to mind, I like the sport of wrestling a lot. There's this wrestler, I've seen a lot of athletes talk about Jesus, which is awesome. I love seeing that stuff. There's this one that really sticks out to me, though. Every question he gets, he points it to Jesus, and he doesn't want any. He's a, like, one of the best wrestlers ever, but he's doesn't have any of it. He thinks of his platform as to witness for Jesus, and he just constantly, they ask him, how do you do this? You know, the Holy Spirit in me, you know, Jesus, and really bold. I've never seen anyone quite that, you know, all the time. And pretty soon people are asking him, what's your favorite Bible verse and stuff? It's really good to see that, you know, really fun to see that. So, but yeah, the Lord lifts up the meek. He casts down the wicked down to the ground. Verse 7, sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God. So, you know, again, singing and thanksgiving, you know, we have so much to be thankful for because of what we've been talking about, of what Jesus did for us. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God. Now he's talking about instruments, you know. So singing and instruments are good. Praise again. Celebrating Jesus. So, and then verse 8, it says, who covers the heaven with clouds? Who prepares rain for the earth? Who makes grass to grow upon the mountains? So, you know, he takes care of us in those ways too. You know, we need, you know, good weather for us to eat, you know. So, and he gives food, he gives to the beast his food and to the young ravens which cry. So, you know, we, you know, tells us to eat meat. He feeds the animals food so then we can eat. You know, he takes care of the animals and us. You know, so in that way too. So, verse 10, it says, he delights not in the strength of the horse. He takes not pleasure in the legs of man. This verse really jumped out at me, you know. You know, you talk to any boy, you know, they always, let's see your muscles, you know. And you can always have that conversation with the boy, you know. You want to be strong as a boy, you know. But really, God doesn't take pleasure in that, you know. He does, that's what the legs of a man, I think that refers to strength, physical strength. And, I have written down here, it's important that we don't try to do anything without Jesus because he doesn't delight in the strength of the horse and he doesn't take pleasure in the legs of a man. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. And I've said that a few times, I know, but you probably can't hear it enough. When we try to do something without him, then that indicates that we think that we can do whatever we do in our own strength and without him. I heard Chuck Smith say that some people accused him of using Jesus as a crutch. And he said, no way, I don't use Jesus as a crutch. I use him as a stretcher. Because with the crutch, you have to use some of your physical strength, you know. But with the stretcher, you just lay there. And that's how Chuck Smith wanted it. It's all you know, someone else carrying you, which is a picture of Jesus, you know, doing all the work for you and not, you know, or just relying on Jesus for everything. So I really like that Chuck Smith said that. I thought that was a good way to put it. Don't use Jesus as a crutch, but as a stretcher. God said that he doesn't take pleasure in the legs of man. Jesus wants us to rely on him for everything. He doesn't delight in physical strength. You know, that Bible verse that says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Says the Lord. And that was prayed in prayer tonight. So just ask him, you know. I know sometimes a lot of times I forget, what should I do here? Life can get so fast. But as much as we can, you know, Lord, help me to do what you want. Help me get my hands out of everything. I like that prayer, and your hand upon everything. So try to do nothing without, you know, we're human, you know, not that it's not like we're going to be perfect, but as much as possible, you know, Lord, help us to rely on you for everything. I like this Bible verse, Proverbs 30, verse 26. It talks about the conies. Conies are this little wimpy animal. Okay, it says about the conies, the conies are but a feeble folk, yet make they their houses in the rocks. So God, you know, is illustrating that conies is a really wise animal, even though they're really small and they can't hurt anything really. You know, they're just wimpy little small animals, and they can't defend themselves or anything. But it says conies rely on rocks. Like if they see any danger, they're like in the rocks, you know, to protect them. And, you know, obviously I think it's safe to say that Jesus is a picture of the rock. You know, they run, they're protected by the rocks, by Jesus. And we're the conies. Okay? Sometimes we think we're, you know, strong and great, but the truth is we're conies, you know. And so, yeah, I think that's a good. My favorite animal used to be gorillas, but I think maybe now it's a coney. But so, and then in verse 11 it says, the Lord takes pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy. Okay, again, it talks about the Lord takes pleasure in them that fear him. So the Psalm, again, the Psalms in the whole Bible instructs us many times to fear Jesus. You know, we are not instructed to fear man, but we are instructed to fear God, and we all should, you know. And I know that it's a, you know, pretty intense saying, you know, fear God, you know, you're like, whoa, you know. But we are to, and, you know, in a healthy way, in the right way. But for sure we are to fear God. Everyone is, you know. And the reason is because we're instructed to fear. We are to not fear man, because they can kill our body, but they can't do anything to our soul. You know, that Bible verse that says that. But we are to fear God, because he can kill our body, but he can also send our soul to hell. So that's why we're to fear God. So, you know, important thing there. So, and it also says, the Lord takes pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy. And for anyone to hope in the mercy of Jesus, is that person must realize that they're a sinful wretch, you know, a dirty, rotten sinner. So it's important for any human to realize that we're sinful wretches, dirty, rotten sinners, and that we have a need to have our sins forgiven, and we have a need of being saved from going to hell. So again, Jesus does not delight in any exaltation of oneself, but instead he delights in those who fear him and who rely on him for everything, including for his forgiveness. Again, like the publican praying. In verse 12, it says, "Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise thy God, O Zion." So again, now we're back to praise him. Christianity is really intense, but at the same time, don't forget, we are to celebrate him as well. "Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise thy God, O Zion. For he has strengthened the bars of thy gates. He has blessed thy children within thee. He makes peace in thy borders and fills thee with the finest of the wheat." So, you know, Jesus is peace. You know, when he was born, you know, they said peace on earth. I think that comes from the word shalom, which means peace. And Jesus is peace. You know, he makes peace in thy borders. He is peace. So, verse 15, "He sends forth his commandment upon earth. His word runs very swiftly." So now he's talking about his word. "He gives snow like wool. He scatters the hoarfrost like ashes. He casts forth his ice like morsels. Who can stand before his cold?" He sends out his word and melts them. He causes his wind to blow and the waters flow. He shows his word unto Jacob, his statutes and his judgments unto Israel. So, you know, he has shown, he's given us his word endures forever. And, you know, so, you know, it's really important, you know, that Bible verse, he said, you know, Mary and Martha, Martha was, when Jesus came to their house, Martha was, you know, running around, kind of probably like a chicken with its head cut off. And Mary was simply sitting at the feet of Jesus and hearing his word. And Martha said something like, you know, "Aren't you disappointed with Mary?" Or I don't know, that's a definite paraphrase. But Jesus, you know, he said, "Mary has chosen the one thing that's needed." And what Mary was doing was sitting at the feet of Jesus and hearing his word. So, you know, he's given us his words. He shows his word unto Jacob, his statutes and his judgments unto Israel. So, you know, help us to sit at your feet and hear your word, Lord. And, you know, it talks about his judgments again, you know, serious, very serious. You know, it's a matter of spending eternity in heaven or hell. So, help us to spread your word, Lord. Help us to grow in your word and help us to spread your word, Lord. And then in verse 20 it says, "He has not dealt so with any nation, and as for his judgments, they have not known them. Praise ye the Lord." So it ends with praise ye the Lord again. Boast in him and celebrate him. And I know I probably sound like a broken record, but I just felt like the whole time you're kind of shifting from having a poor and contrite, repentant heart, and which is very important to do. And at the same time, it's also very important to have joy in the Lord. That's our strength. And eat the fat, drink the sweet, you know, and just balancing those two things out. So, so that's all I, you know, I look probably a lot shorter, but that's what I have. So, just Thanks a lot, Lord. Just help us to rely on you for everything, Lord, and help us to all to develop great relationships with you, and help us to be humble and just know that we need you for everything, and help us to be joyful in you as well, and find that balance, and help, you know, help our relationships with you to grow greatly, and help people who don't have you to understand, to first hear this and then get it in their hearts where they have you as well, Lord. So just help us, Lord. We need your help. Without you, we can do nothing. So help us with all this, Lord. And thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.